we'd like to do today is give you a little background of kind of how we got here and what the issues are. First, I want to say that many of the points that we're going to discuss are not new to the industries. There are issues that have arisen over the last 10 years. I think many of you can remember 1990s where we had a similar discussions. This is the kind of the next generation of issues. Not to be remedial, but we're going to use the term GIPSA, which is Grain Inspection, Packers and Stockyards Administration, or the agency, what we might refer to off and on. A little background. The Grain Inspection, Packers and Stockyards Administration has authority over the Packers and Stockyards Act. You'll often hear lawyers talk about it as PSA or the Act. You'll hear those acronyms used today. I just want to make sure everybody understands what we're talking about. The primary focus of what we're going to talk about is the PSA has seven different prohibitions of what packers or marketing agents or dealers can or cannot do. Primarily two are the focus of most of the discussion of the proposed reg that came out on June the 22nd of 2010. The two areas that they're going to focus on is what is an unfair, unjustly discriminatory, or deceptive practice or device. The second is making or giving any undue or unreasonable preference or advantage to any particular person or locality. The PSA prohibits packers from doing those two things. The problem has been, historically, that those terms are not defined in the Act. So what we have seen is a body of case law that has evolved over giving meaning to these terms and to evaluate what packer practices are allowed and which are prohibited. In the last probably 6 or 7 years in particular, we have seen a number of cases brought by USDA and personal people making claims against packers that have been unsuccessful. And those largely are because the courts have required that there be a showing that the packers' actions caused a competitive injury or was likely to cause a competitive injury. Again, those are pretty broad terms, and part of the rule speaks to what are those terms. In 2008, the Farm Bill was debated. Many of these issues arose during the Farm Bill. This regulation carries forward some of those prior discussions. Many of the things that we'll talk about today were ideas or amendments offered during the 2008 Farm Bill discussions and were soundly defeated or withdrawn. So here we are again today talking about some of the main points. However, in the 2008 Farm Bill, there were things that the Congress directed GIPSA to do. They talked about issuing regulations regarding certain terms of poultry and swine grower contracts. I want to make a distinction now between grower and marketing contracts. Grower contracts are those where the producers are raising the livestock for a particular market. Marketing contracts are a different animal. It is an arrangement, a contract sales arrangement. The two are not the same. The second thing that the Congress directed USDA to do was issue some regulations regarding arbitration. I can speak on behalf of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. We are not arguing about the arbitration provisions that are in this regulation. The third point, it called upon USDA to establish criteria to use to determine whether an undue or an unreasonable preference or advantage has occurred in violation of the Packers and Stockyards Act. Those were the directives of the Congress. What happened on June was that USDA issued responses to those things, plus a whole lot more. And it's the whole lot more that has captured the attention of our organizations. The first, and I want to make some general comments here before I really speak to the specifics of the law. Some general comments from attorneys. This is a pervasive invasion of government into private contractual relations in a way that we have not seen in this industry, especially in the beef industry, and we have not seen in other sectors of the economy. Second, The lawyers have a general perception that there is no recognition in the regulation for the differences between species. Ask any cattleman here if they're similar to a chicken. They'll tell you no. There's some very distinct operational differences between species that are not recognized by the regulation, so it becomes an overly broad application of the law or the proposed law to this, the facts of the industries. Finally, we want to talk about trial lawyers. In this proposed regulation, there's a lessening of the standards of what it takes to make a case, either by the government or by civil suits. The lessening of the standards is what opens the doors for trial lawyers. Let's talk about the regulation specifically. What does it do? I'm going to give you a very, very broad overview of it. The first thing it does is it requires packers to maintain written records to justify differential pricing. And I, if you'd like, I cite you to section 201.94 of the regulation. Making a premium payment and failing to maintain a justification for that premium is also a violation of the law or the proposed reg. It becomes an unfair practice in violation of section 201.210. It requires the packers to submit sample contracts of alternative marketing arrangements to USDA within 10 days of entering into the contract. Now, there has been some discussion of what is a sample contract, and I will tell you that the regulation does not speak to what a sample is, but what it does speak to is what is a marketing agreement. And it talks about what it would apply to. The law, the new proposed regulation, would apply to any marketing agreement, and it specifies what it is. And it says any modification, any change, I'm about cutting out here, any type of change to that original agreement, even if it's one in existence today, it can then be brought under the purview of this regulation. Producer information, in our estimation, is not protected. The packers, in submitting the contracts to USDA, can ask that certain confidential business information be protected. That same privilege is not given to producer information. Many say that by the requirement that it be a sample contract submission, that that doesn't pertain to individual information. However, in other sections of the regulation, it speaks to reporting of the unique circumstances of each contract. In our estimation, that gives USDA the authority to require all contracts to be submitted. If that is not the intent, we would ask that it be clarified. Another point that it talks about is it lists a number of things that packers should not do. Don't violate the Packers and Stockyards Act by giving an undue preference or an unreasonable preference. Again, the regulation specifies what are the types of scenarios that would be undue preferences, and I'm going to give you some what we think are very extreme examples. One, whether contract terms are made available to all who individually or collectively meet the condition or of a contract, if they are offered to one. This eliminates the producer's competitive advantage because the regulation fails to acknowledge that producers are competing for certain contracts in certain markets. Again, that's in section 201.211. The next part is whether information regarding the acquiring of livestock is made to all producers when disclosed to one or more, as a practical matter, what does that mean? Does that mean that a processor must post any offering on the website? What does it mean? What does it have? What practical application does it have? The next thing it calls for is that packers don't violate the Packers and Stockyards Act by engaging in unfair, unjustly discriminatory acts, which are now defined to include contract violations. And here, among attorneys, is where we have some serious problems with the direction of the regulation. It is taking what has traditionally been contract violations and morphing them into violations of the Packers and Stockyards Act, and in some circumstances, violations of antitrust law. While that may not seem like much to many of you in the room, it is a major shift in policy. Again, what are the types of things that the regulation says are unfair or unjustly discriminatory acts? Things like any act that causes competitive injury or creates a likelihood of competitive injury, now defined to include such things as raises rivals' costs. Okay, how do you control somebody else's costs? Wrongfully depresses prices paid to a producer below market value. What's below market value? A misuse of market power to distort competition. Distortions can be positive or negative. Impairs a producer's ability to receive reasonable expected full economic value from a transaction in a market channel or a marketplace. Whoever gets the full expectation of what they think their product is valued. It's a problem for the industry. The legal concepts that have been shifted, we think, open the doors to trial lawyers. We think it shifts agriculture into a new realm of regulatory framework that is not matched in any other industry. We would recognize and ask others to look at this regulation and talk about what it means to other industries. If this becomes the precedent for antitrust law, we have some serious concerns for how industries in the United States will function.